Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul goes on and says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The Apostle Paul again is instructing them of how to keep the revelation and this knowledge of God before you as a lamp for your feet. So, but now are you children of the Lord, as it says in verse 8 there. So let this lamp, which I have given you, this holy knowledge which I have given you, okay, be before you, which the Spirit will assist you. So he says, walk as children of light. Okay, this is your form of activity, so walk in cadence with this revelation. Okay, and walking in cadence with the revelation of this Spirit and of this holy knowledge, okay, will continue to birth within you the virtue of God. So walk as children of light, being the offspring of this knowledge. Children of light, being the offspring of this knowledge. So the Apostle Paul is the steward of this knowledge, which he also brings out in Philippians, is concerning being an example for them. Okay, and of course he brings out in Philippians chapter 2. Whereas he says in chapter 2, verse 17, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." So here the Apostle Paul is bringing to your attention is concerning that this holy knowledge is for the purpose of your reciprocation and priesthood. And if I be offered, he says here, referring to himself and the stewardship, and the stewardship, of course, is imparting this knowledge, setting the foundation within a heart to which we're all building upon. And as we continue to build upon this one foundation, which is Jesus Christ, okay, we'll be of all one mind and one spirit. So in verse 17, "And if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith," Paul says, "I join and rejoice with you all." Okay, we see that the promises of God are being completed, okay, as we participate, okay, with this responsibility. Similar to that which Jesus said to Peter. When Jesus told Peter and instructed him, okay, giving him knowledge to which, again, to reciprocate, he said to Peter, go to the water and catch a fish. And the first fish that you catch, which comes up, okay, in that you will find a coin. What's interesting is that all Jesus said to Peter was that you do this and I'll take care of the rest. Now Peter didn't go to the water and try to decide, okay, Lord, which fish do you want me to catch? Okay, all the Lord says is that the first fish that you do bring up, check its mouth. Okay, so Jesus said, the responsibility lies on you to be obedient, and I'm the one that will bring the results. So here the Apostle Paul saying the same thing as concerning, I join and rejoice with you all. Okay, I have given you this pattern, okay, by which you, okay, are being responsible and that you're building with. Okay, therefore I joy and rejoice with you all. Okay, now back in Ephesians here. Okay, whereas the Apostle Paul continues on here, "For the fruit of the Spirit," now notice he's joined the fruit of the Spirit to this knowledge, okay, and the knowledge for your obedience. So you might want to get your highlighter and highlight the word fruit there in verse 9. And that's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. Underline the word fruit, draw a line from the word fruit to the word light, okay, there in verse 8. Okay, this is what we're walking in, okay. When we walked according to the passions of our own moral code, okay, and under the influence and persuasion of Satan's kingdom, we were darkness. When he says darkness, of course, he's talking about we were demonic in our thinking. Demonic in our thinking goes all the way back to the time when Satan was cast out of God's presence forcibly. Okay, when God was very aggressive and forcible, okay, in casting Satan out of heaven, is because of his indifference. Okay, to the plan and knowledge of God. Okay, so when the Apostle Paul says the word darkness here, okay, in verse 8, he's talking about as being demonic in your thinking. You're taking Satan's perspective. When we were under or tethered to his kingdom, okay, and under Satan's perspective, that means we were in that shadow called the shadow of death, okay, which also the psalmist brings out. "Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death," in Psalms 23, Okay, as the psalmist said that in Psalms 23, he's talking about being in the kingdom of this darkness. Okay, being in this dimension, which is the lowest of the heavens and the darkest of the heavens, is tethered to another form of knowledge, which is also considered as the valley of death. Through this valley of death, and in this dimension, God has provided a table for us, which we must sit at and dine at. And this is, of course, whereas we receive our nourishment. And nourishment. So this is how we walk as children of light. We now gain the perspective of the throne of God. And gaining this perspective, we now have the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And with this, goodness, righteousness, and truth, we're able to discern. It's only in the kingdom of light that we're able to discern in the way those things which are not of God's kingdom and those things which are of His kingdom. Those things which are clean, and those things which are not clean. The things which are holy and the things which are profane. Profane, which means used in place of God's, those things which are used, which man selects to use in God's place, or in place of God's tools. Which, of course, is profane and unclean and abomination to God. So here in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit. And now the fruit of the Spirit, it says in verse 8, we are called the children of light. Now he says the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is the offspring of the Spirit, as we are offspring of light. We are carrying the testimony of God within us, because the knowledge of God is being inscribed within our minds and our hearts. And with this perspective, we are walking with God. So we're walking as children of light. With this perspective, because we're carrying the testimony of God within us, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So all the word goodness, put also the word equity. Because when God saw that it was good, it bore His image and His likeness. It was equity. E-Q-U-I-T-Y, over the word goodness there in verse 9. So highlight the word goodness there. Now again, this the Apostle Paul is saying the word goodness, has its roots there in Genesis, where God created everything. And God saw that it was good, and then became the next day, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God saw that everything which He constructed, which a spirit moved in, bore the image and likeness of His goodness, it bore equity, and with that it was perpetual. Once He set it within the motion of His law, it was perpetual. Just like we walk by the law of the Spirit, we work by the law of grace and faith. It is perpetually working within us, so that through each cycle of your growth, we continue to bear the image of Christ within us. Bearing His image, or that is what He is inscribing within us, is that testimony, the testimony of His fruit. For the fruit of the Spirit, which is the Spirit produces this, value, this virtue, this fruit, is in all goodness. So we said the word goodness also has to do with equity. It stands within His equity. And standing within His equity, it is righteousness, because it meets the standard of Christ. And truth, because it bears His foundation. And the truth we know has these three manifestations: the things which He says, and the things which He is, the person, the things which He says, and that which He communicates, and the things which He does, which has to do with His fruit, the things He's creating. And by this we're discerning, proving was acceptable to the Lord. So underline the word proving there in verse 10, and over the word proving put the word discerning. What is acceptable to the Lord? What is acceptable to the Lord? Well, the things which He provided for us to reciprocate with. Well, what are we supposed to reciprocate with? We're supposed to reciprocate with Christ Jesus, our Lord. Of course, the Apostle Paul does bring that out. As concerning this form of reciprocation. And we can see that also in verse 11 there in Romans chapter 5. So in Romans 5:11, Okay, or yeah, Romans 5:11. He says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. In Romans 5:11. Okay, our rejoicing is within Him. Okay, rejoicing, which we're building and reciprocated, we're reciprocating to Him what He gives to us. So we joy in God. Okay, with the framework and with the tools. In the framework, with the tools. Okay, in the temple, with the priesthood. Okay, in the framework, with the tools. Okay, so through this, we have a form of joining, which He calls reconciliation. We are reconciled. Okay, being reconciled, we should be saved by His life. Okay, those things which He issues for us to reciprocate with. So we see the tethering and tutoring of angels. Okay, because they're providing us richly with this grace by which we're reciprocating with. So if we're reciprocating with these things, we are therefore joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the priesthood and the tools of the second covenant. Okay, now back in Ephesians. So we're now proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What is acceptable to the Lord? Only Himself. Those things which He has sanctified, okay, for the increase of His kingdom within us. As Jesus said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And then He said again, behold, the kingdom of God comes without observation. Again, he's speaking of Himself, and He's also speaking of His ministry and His tools. Okay, in verse 11, we can see, okay, what the barrier would be to this form of activity, the works of darkness. Okay, there is no form of exchanging between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. There's no form of exchange because there's no fellowship there. The knowledge of the kingdom of darkness does not profit the kingdom of light. And the kingdom of the knowledge of the kingdom of light does not profit the things of the kingdom of darkness. These two kingdoms are contrary to each other, as the Apostle Paul also says. And what fellowship has the house of God with the house of Baal? Okay, or what fellowship has Christ with Belial? Have no fellowship, he says. Now here he's talking to the Gentiles of Ephesus. Okay, and informing them that there's two kingdoms that are present. Okay, one, okay, which sympathizes with one's aspiration and the flesh. And the other, which sympathizes, is concerning the righteousness of God and the building of His kingdom. Okay, there's two types of treasures, and Jesus brought this out too, where He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now He says, if you lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, then you're going to build with the things of the aspirations of this world, which perish. Because we know that God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth. As the Apostle Peter, you see, learned from the Lord Himself, okay, when Jesus was bringing these things to their attention. When He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So we see there's two kingdoms, and there's also two forms of activity. Okay, and there's two princes. Okay, one is the prince of unrighteousness, Satan, and the other the Prince of Life, our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, one sympathizes with God, the other is contrary to God, as Jesus also said. Again, he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. Okay, and Jesus, he that gathers not with me, is speaking of those that do not join themselves to me or are not engrafted within me, are those which shall be cut off. Those which are cut off are those that break the bone. Okay, they offer unto God a dirty sacrifice. Okay, they offer unto God only their aspiration. They offer unto God only that of their moral code. Okay, the things which are concealed within them, okay, is also evil favoredness. Anything that possesses evil favoredness is an abomination to God. So Adam tries to offer unto God, or offers unto Him, the things which he wants to aspire to. Okay, health, wealth, okay, and well-being, the peace and security of this world, okay, the pursuits of the things of this world, okay, which is founded within a moral code. So Adam tries to offer unto God the things which God wants him, he wants God to reciprocate back to him, his pleasure. Okay, and God will not reciprocate to man's pleasure. Man must reciprocate to God's pleasure, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. So the fellowship of this world is unfruitful, which means it's sprouting, okay, will be chopped down. As Jesus again said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be plucked up. Okay, and again, as John the Baptist even said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Which means the traditions, the established traditions of this present world, okay, which is rooted within a moral code, will be removed by faith. It's the tradition of faith that we are called the children of Abraham. Okay, and if we're children of Abraham, okay, then we are the offspring of that kingdom. We're offspring of faith. Okay, if we carry these traditions, the traditions of faith, okay, which bridge every week, okay, from the first week to the 10th week, the traditions of faith bridge every week, and Jesus was the bridge between the 5th and the 1st 8th week. Okay, what did he bridge? He bridged the breach. Well, what is the breach? The moral code. The moral code is the violation of faith, because it wants to stand independently of itself and is hostile to God. Okay, as the Apostle Paul also again brings out. Okay, and also Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You're of your father the devil, and his works you do." Well, you have only Satan's perspective, and you want to stand independent. Okay, of this bridge. I am the bridge. You must take on my yoke, and you must learn of me. You no longer are you supposed to learn of Moses and that law, which addressed the moral code. Why, you're to learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, being joined to me, I will give you light and life. Okay, and what does John testify of him? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? What was the barrier? The moral code was the barrier. The moral code was a barrier because they were trying to find something within themselves which they felt was favorable to God. They were trying to offer back to God their own signature. And God says, "You can't offer to me the record of your own soul. I have provided you my Son. He that believes on the Son has life. You must only reciprocate unto me which I have given to you for faith." Okay, you can't offer unto me that which is the flesh. Okay, because I have provided a sacrifice for you, which you must reciprocate with. That is, which is your Lord Jesus Christ. So the unfruitful works of darkness, okay, it has to do with that which is profane, that which possesses evil favoredness, and that these things are found in the moral code. Okay, and that is joined and tethered to the kingdom of darkness. Okay, demonic thinking. The greatest barrier between you and God is your perspective. But we must overcome ourselves, we must overcome Satan, we must overcome the world. We only do this by the government, the truth, and the Spirit. Okay? With the tools He's provided for us to use within this priesthood, so that we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And that we hold Him before us as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So that even though we're in the valley, the shadow of death, we continually partake of the table He set before us. As Jesus said, "I am that bread of life. I am that bread. Not the bread that Moses gave you, but the bread which my Father gave you." Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But here, what are we to do? We're to reprove them. Now, reproof is not reproach. Okay, reproof is reproof of truth. Okay, and this is what we have the doctrine of Christ for. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God for the purpose of what? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay. Now the wicked, they say, "Why are you reproaching me with this knowledge?" Okay. I'm not reproaching you with the knowledge of God. Okay. I'm giving you this knowledge of truth, which brings reproof, okay, to the moral code. Because we're saying the moral code holds no value with faith. Okay. It will not be productive in the kingdom of God. The God code which He sealed within you for your sovereignty only increases with those things which God has sanctified. But if you use the God code with the moral code, okay, it's in His death. Okay, and your sovereignty will be severed from you, and forever will you be in burning fire. Okay, perpetually burning in fire. Okay, because those things which God has set within you, okay, He will not remove that. He just remove your sovereignty. Okay, from this dimension, and you just be repetitively burning and burning and burning. Okay, and the conscience will continue to bear witness to your own suffering, as it's also bearing witness to the suffering of this world today. Okay, we see it. Okay, as the state of the soul, okay, as the state of the soul is, so also are the judgments which God sets upon this earth. Okay, because the rudder reflects the soul. Okay, so we reprove them with truth. Okay, and reproving of truth sets again the bone, so that the bone begins to heal, okay, from its severing of the perspective of Satan's kingdom. Okay, when Jacob leaned on his one leg, he was as weak, being of the flesh. But when Jacob put weight on the other leg, okay, wherein the sinew was removed, then he was called Israel, okay, one that has power and strength with man and God. Okay, and when you stand on the good leg, which is that which is healed, then you're standing on that foundation of truth, okay, and you're able also to take revenge against all disobedience. Taking revenge against all disobedience first requires you to subdue the imagination, okay, unto the things of Christ. Okay, when your obedience is fulfilled, then you're able also to take revenge against all disobedience. So when the bone is healed within you, okay, and as concerning the perspective of life, then also you're able to revenge all disobedience to the reproof of truth. Okay, but reproach has to do with the moral code. Reproof has to do with the knowledge of truth. Okay, but the sinners, when they feel that their conscience is being challenged, they get angry because they think that you're reproaching them. And so also Jesus said to his apostles, okay, if they have hated me, they're going to hate you too. So he says, remember the word I said unto you. Okay, if they have loved me, they also loved you, but they'll also love you, but they have hated me. So if they hate me, being the master of the house, they're going to hate also my servants, because I bring reproof to the moral code, that the moral code is not a sufficient sacrifice unto my Father, because it only the moral code possesses the record of your own soul, and that is not acceptable to God. Only our Lord Jesus Christ is acceptable, because he is a true record. Okay, and this is a record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in the Son, as the Apostle John said. And as Apostle John listened into Jesus' discourses, okay, every evening, nay, and every morning, okay, the discourses of Jesus' counsel among his apostles were continually bringing their attention to that record of himself, that they be joined to him now. Okay, and that's why he said to him, to his apostles, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Okay, when he says, let not your heart be troubled, don't be disturbed by this transition, because I'm the bridge, this troubling waters. Okay, because the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light, and I am that light. Okay, I am the bridge to the troubled waters. You now need to be joined to me. They see the Moses' commandments were only those things which God gave to address the moral code of man, that it is insufficient righteousness. Okay, the law of Moses was given to man in order to magnify, okay, the discrepancies of the moral code, that it was not sufficient righteousness, okay, because the law only addresses that which is of sin. Okay, the law only addresses that which is of sin. And we know that sin does not work righteousness. Okay, but Jesus gave us another law, the law of grace. Okay, because the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay, so we bring reproof to the unfruitful works of darkness, okay, which he says there in verse 11. Okay, but you must grow in the grace of God. You have to be diligent with the tools. Okay, you have to learn what it means to trust in the Lord. Okay, trusting in the Lord has to do again what we're relying on his consistency. Okay, and how can you rely on something we don't understand? Well, we do understand, because God has given us and granted us understanding, okay, through the stewardship and the grace of the stewardship, okay, that by building on his foundation with our priesthood, we can have strong confidence before him. So we rely on his consistency of his involvement within our life, and therefore we can be rooted and grounded in Christ. We understand the pattern. Okay, so now we can bring reproof to the works of darkness. Okay, because Christ is now formed within you. Okay, now verse 12, the apostle goes on, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now the word speak is that we do not communicate the frailty of man We communicate Christ. That's the purpose of the assembly. Okay, when we come together by the revelation of God, as the Apostle Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, well, how is it then, brethren, we come together? Or also in chapter 12, okay, where he says, how is it, brethren, we come together? 12:26. Every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Our fellowship is with the Spirit. Okay? And when our fellowship with the Spirit, there's no offense. Okay? It's when when those things of man are being addressed, okay, that we see the nuances of the moral code manifesting itself. And the nuances of the moral code, okay, always produce offense, okay, in one manner or another. Okay? Okay, now look at verse 12 again, for it is a shame. So underline the word shame there, and also the word shame is also applied to Satan. So you could capitalize that. Okay, Satan, his name is also shame. Okay, all right, because he doesn't possess the testimony of God within him. Okay? And he is also severed from the light. Okay? That's why he is darkness and death. And all those that be tethered to him take his perspective, and death dominates all those of that perspective. For it is a shame even to speak of those things. We do not communicate the things of frailty in the moral code, because they work offense. You cannot build with offense, but you can build with faith. Okay? To speak of those things which are done in them in secret. Now underline the word secret there. Okay? And now you're going to see the word moral code. Okay? The word secret there means code. Now the word code has to do with something that's concealed from the carnal mind. Okay, so put the word MC over the word secret there. Okay, now you see the word moral code. Okay, is even though it's the word that we use here, okay, but we can see the Apostle Paul said the same thing, but just in a different way here. So the word secret has to do with mystery. Mystery has to do with a code. So put the word moral code over the word secret there. Okay, because those which are of darkness have the perspective of Satan and continue to speak the things of the moral code. See, and it's a shame to seek those things which are done of them in secret. Their activity is based upon and building this with this perspection and this perspective, okay, and with death. Okay, it's shame. Okay, because the end of those things is shame. This is wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, okay, which is that of faith, okay, wood, hay, and stubble, which is the moral code. Every man's work should be manifest, for the day should declare it. Okay, the day should declare it, which means that in the time of the assembly, okay, and when your priesthood is being expressed, okay, if the prophecy is in reflection of one's own frailty, then it's the moral code, which also has to do with wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, but if the priesthood and the prophecy is that which is according to faith, okay, and the foundation of truth, then it's gold, silver, and precious stones. For that is a day of testing. So you're able to discern that which is, which the Apostle Paul brings out earlier, he which is spiritual judges all things. So you're able to discern, okay, that which is of the moral code and that which is of faith. One is from the foundation of truth, being the record of Christ. The other is foundation of the moral code, which is the record of man, the signature of man, the perspective of this world, whose prince is called shame. Okay, now in verse 13, let's go on here. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Of course, I just spoke about that. And we see the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, so if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 there, okay, and we see the same thing. We talks about fire. Okay, every man's work should be manifest, for the day, the light, the fire, should declare it. It should be made known, because it should be revealed by fire, the day, the light. The fire should try every man's work with sword is, which is truth. Okay, what sword it is. See the word, he said the word sort, which means the word sort has to do as to divide according to God's selection. Okay, for every time we use the tools of the cover, we're making discernment, okay, and dividing and setting it apart according to that selection. Okay, as the chewing of the cud and the dividing of the hoof, okay, which God selected for the purpose of this teaching, okay, that we would be discerning, okay, that we would chew the cud as to meditate on His word. And the dividing of the hoof is that with the, as we chew the cud, we make distinction between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the profane. Okay, that those things which God accepts and those things which God rejects. Okay, so we are discerning ones. Okay, only those that are light can make this distinction. Okay, and the Apostle Paul, of course, brings that out, that there will be those that will preach a gospel, okay, which, of course, being founded on the moral code, okay, the knowledge of God escapes them. We see this in Galatians chapter 1. Whereas he says, but though we are an angel from heaven preaching the gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Okay, accursed, removed from his clemency. As I said before, so say now again, if any man preach in the gospel unto you, then that you have received. Now, when he says the word received here, he's not talking about a denominational apostle. He's talking about a covenant apostle. He's speaking of himself. The denominational apostles read the same scripture, which we're reading right here, but they make application according to that denomination and a moral code and the precept. Okay, so they say, if you preach not our gospel of this denomination, okay, no matter what denomination it is, okay, but they favor the denomination which they are engrafted into, okay, then they say, then you're not of God. Okay, so they use the same scriptures, okay, but with a different system of government, okay, and with a different results, which is not the fruits of righteousness, but the fruits, unfruitful works of darkness. Okay? Because the gospel of this world, the gospel of men, is that which pleases men, because it addresses the issues of man. Okay, is it the affairs of man, the relationships of man, all right? The psychology, the issues, the relationships, okay, his fears, and his victories, whatever it is that they're, that is according to the course of this world, because the spirit of the world speaks of the world, the spirit of the world honors the world. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, ministers of unrighteousness speak according to the spirit of this world, addressing those things which are in man. Okay, and that's why the Apostle John said, okay, by the angel that was working with him to the church of Laodicea, but thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, the gospel of man addresses those things of man's wretched nature. But thou art wretched. That's the gospel that pleases men. Okay, thou art wretched and naked. The gospel that pleases man. Miserable. The gospel that pleases man. Poor. The gospel that pleases man. And wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Okay, blind, that which pleases man. Okay, because it's bringing Christ down to the level of the flesh to address those things of man. Okay, which according to Jesus' ministry was granted to him as a sign of his messiahship. Okay, but it was not to be a sign for man's aspiration. It was to be a sign of his messiahship. But the children of unrighteousness, the ministers of righteousness, used the sign of Jesus' messiahship, okay, to gratify their aspirations. They use it to gratify their aspirations, and that's why they preach a gospel that centers upon Adam's frailty. Our gospel is that according to Christ Jesus. Okay, our gospel is that according to the Spirit. Okay, not according to man, but according to the Spirit. Not according to the law, but according to grace. Okay, let's go on here now. Okay, let's go back up here in let's read verse 10 and 11, okay, and 12 again. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, your discernment, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove, not reproach, reprove. Okay, now verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which is done of them in secret. And I said we underlined the word secret and highlighted it and put the word moral code over that. Okay, because it has to do, the moral code has to do with that which God sets in the signature of man, okay, yet man doesn't understand his own self. All right, so it's a secret, a mystery. It's a mystery of man, because the nuances of that are in the billions. Okay, and we have volumes and volumes of books on psychology that try to deal with the nuances of that moral code, to try to resolve the shouting of the conscience that says you are unclean. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved, here's underline reprove again. Okay, see that in verse 12 and verse 11. Okay, so take your highlighter, okay, and highlight the word there, reproved. Okay, in verse 13, draw a line from the word reproved in verse 13 up to the word reproof, okay, of verse 11. Okay, so what brings reproof? There, all right, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. We talked about that on 1 Corinthians. For what thing? For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Okay, is light. And that's what Jesus claimed himself to be. Okay, I am the light of the world. Okay, so when Jesus says, I'm the light, I'm bringing reproof to all those things which Adam esteemed as being favorable with God. Okay, as a signature of man. Okay, and the moral code, which is within that signature. Okay, the things which man honors is the things of man. Okay, but the righteous honor the things of God, which Jesus also said. Okay, verse 14. Wherefore he says here, awake. You know, that's the same thing he says in the book of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah says the same thing in Isaiah 52. Awake, awake. Okay, and here Isaiah, the prophet speaking these things, okay, is setting a pattern. The Spirit revealing these things to him was setting a pattern. Okay, as concerning the the wave. Okay, of the things that are come. Now I say the wave. I'm talking about the things which are in the on the crest, of the crown, which has to do with the time when God gives light. Okay, and the trough. Okay, which is the bottom of the wave there. Okay, which has to do with the things of darkness. Okay, the struggles. Okay, the time of great apostasy. Okay, the great apostasy. Okay, begins to take place. Okay, at the conclusion of the second eighth week. Okay, and that is when the Antichrist. Okay, begins to manifest himself. Okay, the son of perdition begins to manifest himself. And the son of perdition, we will know when he's around. Okay, his presence will be known mostly when Babylon is established as a major trade center in the Middle East, and the Persian Empire begins to actually support Israel, okay, in building of the temple, okay, for world peace at the time. And this would be the council of the beast. Okay, that would be his council before he becomes the beast, but he is the beast, okay, as concerning counseling these things. Okay, as concerning the establishment of Babylon, physical Babylon, not the mystery Babylon, the physical Babylon, okay, which will be the beacon of the Middle East and distribution of the wealth, okay, of the Middle East for all these different tribes, the Medes, the Persians, and the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, okay, in that time. So we'll see the reemergence of this great history, okay, which we see was joined together, was prophesied. It was prophesied by Abraham, it was prophesied by Moses, it's prophesied by all the prophets, and it's been prophesied by the Apostle John, and we're seeing it now fulfilled in our times. Okay, so when the man of sin begins to manifest himself, okay, this would be through his counsel, which all the nations would be agreeable to. Babylon, the reconstruction of Babylon, okay, is being, again, the beacon of the Middle East and the trade center of the Middle East, okay, the wealth of the Middle East. Okay, and the distribution of that wealth, and the Persian Empire, okay, granting Israel permission to build a temple on the mount. Okay, it's a great mystery, and we're seeing it unfolded within our lifetime. Okay, and when these things begin to take place, then we also know, lift up the head, right, for your redemption draws nigh. Okay, wherefore he says, awake. Okay, so we can see when he's saying this to the church here, okay, as don't be hypnotized, okay, by the doctrine of Nicolaitans, okay, which address the physical things. Awake you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Okay, we have to make that choice to work with the grace of God. Okay, so he says, awake. Okay, take on the armor of your priesthood, and do service to him. Okay, and the Lord will continue to sustain you. All right. So here we see the priesthood being mentioned here in verse 15, to walk circumspectly. Now, the word circumspectly there in verse 15 has to do with cognitive activity. You know what you're doing. It's not mindless activity. Our faith in God is not a blind and mindless activity, okay, of something of our aspiration to be fulfilled. Okay, is cognitive, and right, which means it's knowledge that gives us instruction, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Okay, our priesthood, okay, is just as circumspect as that of the directions which Aaron received of Moses, okay, and which tradition was passed down to each generation of Levites. Okay, they functioned according to the knowledge of their fathers. Okay, but we have a better and more approving priesthood, Jesus Christ. Okay, after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, we are using this knowledge in our priesthood, walking circumspectly. Okay, we know what's expected out of us. We know what our responsibility is, and not only that, we know how to do it. This is what God is restoring to the church. Okay, this is part of the transition, okay, from a impotent priesthood of the false religious system into that which is cognitive, active, growing, and living, okay, and God-ordained, sanctified, okay, through Jesus Christ. See then that you walk circumspectly. Let our activity, okay, so all the words circumspect there, circumspectly, put, okay, a functional priesthood. Okay, so put the word functional. Okay, functional priesthood, or the word circumspectly. Okay, so a functional priesthood is not as a fool. Okay, a fool really doesn't know their end. Okay, now when we were building upon the sand, okay, when we were as sand people, okay, our activity was not circumspectly, okay? Okay, it was whatever we felt was necessary. Okay, it was like trial and error. Okay, we would pray and we see an answer to that prayer, but we didn't know how this made its connection. We didn't know how to function. There was no functionality for us. Okay, other than what Jesus said to pray. Okay, I'll pray. Okay, we can see this played out in the program oriented sand people. Okay, so they go from one program to the next program. Okay, we can see the same thing with the laughter movement. Okay, they felt that the laughter movement itself, okay, was a functionality for a priesthood. Now that's what you call folly. Okay, because unless I could give a good laugh, okay, I could not enter into God's peace. But we know that the restoration of the church is not in laughter. Because laughter is madness. See, and God, okay, isn't putting the church in the priesthood of craziness, madness, being lunatic. Okay, God is putting the church back into a priesthood of being circumspect. Okay, so see that you walk circumspectly. Be arrayed with the garment of your priesthood. Okay, and approach the altar with reverence. Okay, I mean, we approach it with knowledge, okay, and with the proper tools. Approaching the altar of Christ, because Jesus Christ is the altar of our faith. Okay, see then as you walk circumspectly, and not as fools, okay, which err in the way. The fools err in the way, but our altar, a fool cannot err in the altar of Christ, because he doesn't know where it's at, so he can't err into it. Okay, but as wise. Okay, so those which are wise are those which have been instructed in the knowledge of God. And know what the responsibility that lies before them. In verse 16, we can see redeeming the time. Now, redeeming the time has to do with that we are taking back that which was lost. Okay? And taking back that which is lost, God is granting credit to us. Okay, God is granting credit to us as concerning those works. Okay. So redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now he says here the days are evil. He's talking about that the false knowledge at this time will be dominating the world. Just like the false knowledge dominated the world when Jesus entered into the world. Okay, but when he entered the world, he came as a light in the world. When he came as light into the world, all the angels rejoiced. And he said, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Because Jesus is the will of God, okay, which is given to man so that man could have peace with God. So redeeming the time because the days are evil. So through our priesthood, we are retaining and taking back those things which we lost. That which the caterpillar devoured. Okay, that which the mold devoured. Okay, that which the mice devoured. Okay, those things, okay, which were of our signature, which became distorted. Okay, it became distorted by the false knowledge of this world. Okay, that which God set within us was good. Okay, but it wasn't for righteousness, but it was good as concerning our functionality. But seeing that we used the God code with the moral code and replace a faith, okay, those things which God set within us became contaminated. It's like offering unto God a diseased animal. Okay, and any animal that had any kind of blemish in it or scurvy, okay, or had even a broken leg, okay, or a roadkill. You can't offer to God anything that was corruptible, okay, or where corruption was in it, as a dead animal that was roadkill. It says, well, why don't we just offer it to God, seeing this, you know, we'll take advantage of this animal. Okay. Again, man is using something with his imagination, isn't he? Okay. So here we can't offer unto God anything except what God designed. They force us to offer to him. Okay. All right, so redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, verse 17, Be you not unwise. So underline the word unwise. Be not unwise. Okay, as the fool is unwise. Okay, but we are to be as the wise. Okay, knowing the wise what? They understand. What are they understanding? Okay, because God is setting order to the knowledge which they have received. Okay, and God is giving us wisdom of how to direct our activity, the activity of priesthood. With government, truth, and spirit, the threefold cord. Okay, the threefold cord, okay, is that also which also was used within the breastplate. Okay, binding the breastplate to the vestments. Okay, binding all the vestments together with the uches. Okay, the cords, the silver, the linen. Okay, and the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Okay, all these things, okay, were to be included within the vestment. Okay, so a threefold cord, which is government, truth, and spirit, that which is of your priesthood, okay, is not easily broken. Okay, so here we can see those which are wise will understand. We see also the prophet Daniel said the same thing. Okay, in Daniel chapter 12. Okay, if you'd like to turn to the prophets there for a minute. Okay, we can see the book of Daniel there, just before you get to Hosea. Okay, what are you talking about? Chapter 12, last chapter of Daniel, and this, verse 10. Now, many shall be purified, made white and tried. And that's what we're doing. We're going through the cycles of growth. We're being purified, white, and tried. Our soul is turning from black to green to white. Okay, as it's going through a transition of ignorance to light. Okay, where many shall be purified by this knowledge for the priesthood, made white and tried. Okay, but the wicked shall do wickedly. These are the unwise. These are the foolish. Okay, and none of the wicked shall understand because there's no order to their knowledge. Okay, the functionality of their priesthood is according to the working of air. Okay, but we are as the wise. Now here he says here in verse 10, but the wise shall understand. The wicked shall not understand. The wicked won't. None of the wicked shall understand. And they can't see the value of the Holy Ghost. They can't see the value of speaking in tongues. They can't see the value of apostles. Okay, but they feel that being on the journey of truth, they're trying to seek truth, trying to find truth. Okay, and they're also trying to find value within themselves. That's what the gospel of man does. They try to find value in themselves. They're trying to make that which is unfavorable and unclean, clean and favorable to the God. But only Jesus is the Lamb of God, okay, by which we offer a sacrifice to him, back to himself. But the wise shall understand. From that time, he says here, from that time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Okay, we can see the time of transition. Okay, and even the time of transition through Israel. okay, which is parallel to that of the church today. Okay, and we can see also that it was with Israel, the abomination, so also with the church, the abomination that makes desolate. Okay, but we don't want to go into that right now, but let's jump right back over here to Ephesians. Okay, the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination that makes desolate the heart. Okay, but the sacrifice of the righteous, okay, is a sacrifice that is acceptable and holy unto God, because we're offering back to Him His Christ. All right. Now we go here. Let's move on here. So, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, okay, with a functional priesthood, not as fools, those that are erring in their understanding, and not as the wise, but be as wise, knowing what the will of the Lord is, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The time of darkness as the time of the Gentiles, which, by the way, the time of the Gentiles is almost fulfilled now. The time of the Gentiles is a clock, okay, which God initiated during times of Nebuchadnezzar being the head of gold. The times of the Gentiles will be completed, okay, as concerning the establishment of the second temple, okay, and the clock of the Jews begins, okay, the 7 remaining years, after 62 weeks. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We know what the will of the Lord is, because God is empowering this activity. Okay, as God empowers this activity, okay, we continue to experience regeneration and renewing of the mind. Okay, our perspective changes with each, unique unfolding of experience. Okay, through dreams and through visions, okay, through your priesthood, okay, or being taken in the spirit, whatever God selects, okay, as to engage with you, okay, is for the purpose of and as a purpose of your growth and the benefit of all, so that when one is honored, all rejoice. Okay, now in verse 18. Don't be intoxicated with the things of this world. Okay, which of course, which the knowledge of the world intoxicates the imagination. Okay, we know the imagination is a door to which Satan enters in. And when Satan enters in that door, into that door, mostly the door of the imagination, with the aspiration, he gains entrance into the moral code to try to give value and equity within the heart of into the heart of man. Okay, but every equity which Satan gives defiles the soul and brings death. You don't want to use that, because it only works death unto death. Okay, in the end, the shame. You have nothing to offer when you stand before the King of Kings. So be not drunk with wine, wherein is access. Okay, well, we want to drink of the new wine of Christ, but be filled with the Spirit, okay, which is the wine of Christ, or the communion of the Holy Ghost. The wine of Christ is the communion of the Holy Ghost. Okay, that not that which is springs of the soil, but the vine that came from the throne of God, the vine which is of the throne. We're tethered to Him by that vine, Jesus Christ. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, how are we filled with the Spirit? Okay, as we utilize these things within the assembly. Okay, and we speaking to ourselves in this form of meditation. Okay, speaking to yourselves in this form of meditation and your priesthood, even with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, this is a form of meditation. Okay, which also we see in our website there. Okay, the forms of meditation. Okay, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is according to the effect of grace. Okay, not replacing grace, working with it. Okay, and not replacing the priesthood, but working with it. Okay, and so with working with it, Paul goes on here as he's telling the Gentile Ephesians, because they were absent. Okay, they were absent in the activity of that first covenant. They had no understanding what the responsibility was to the second covenant. Okay, having no experience in that first covenant, the only ones that had experience were those which were proselytes. Okay, they which were converted to Judaism. Okay, as we see in the Gospels. Okay, there were certain Greeks which were in Jerusalem which asked Philip that he could talk to Jesus. Okay, and Philip or Thomas, they talked to one of the apostles, which brought Jesus' word. He says, "The Greeks desire to talk with you." Okay, these were Greeks which were converts to Judaism. Okay, and that's why they were interested. Because in fact, that's why they were there during that Passover. okay, for the purpose of offering a sacrifice, as was determined, okay, that all males must appear three times a year before the Lord, okay, and that in the Feast of Tabernacles they all must be present and present themselves before the Lord. So, and here they heard rumors about this Jesus of Nazareth, and they came there, okay, to inquire of him, because there was much speaking about him in their native land, okay, and there was not only much speaking of him, but there was pro and con concerning him. There was those which were carnal minded, which were throwing out all these precautions and red flags about Jesus, of Nazareth, the one that was born of Mary, which is claimed to be a virgin. Okay, which they would say, we believe he was born of fornication. Okay, and he breaks the Sabbath day, so they don't believe in him as Messiah. And there is also the pros concerning him. Okay, well, he does great miracles. We heard many miracles of him in our native land. Okay, and also that he heals the sick, and he's raised one from the dead called Lazarus. Okay, we've heard about these things. And doesn't the prophet speak about this man, that there would be a man coming that would do these things, that would point to him as a second Moses or Messiah? So these were questions that the Greeks had. Okay, let's go back here now to verse 20. So here the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesians about this priesthood, okay, the priesthood of the second covenant. Okay, but here he's given them also examples of that first covenant, as we see also in the book of Hebrews, educating the Gentiles concerning those things, okay, which were passing, okay, to help them understand its value and the types and shadows which Jesus fulfilled, and also the things which are yet to come. Okay. So giving thanks always for all things. Now, the giving of thanks, again, has to do with a form of reciprocation. Okay, the giving of thanks. We're in thanksgiving, or giving of thanks. It's a form of activity of knowledge, isn't it? Okay, which we're showing with our lips. Okay, giving thanks to the Lord. Okay, the sacrifices of praise. Hebrews chapter 13 brings that out. Okay, let us therefore offer sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Okay, giving thanks always for all things unto God, which of course he's governing our destiny through this form of activity, because his mercy is in his tools. Okay, his mercy is in his tools. That's why you want to use these tools. Okay, praying in tongues. Okay, exercising yourself with the language of the angels. Okay, which communication, okay, God has destined for our faith to be exercised with. Okay, as also the exercising of the sacrifices of prophecy. Okay? As we see, which he brings out also in the book of Hebrews. Okay? And sacrifice. And as I brought out earlier in the book of Philippians. Yea, if I be offered upon a sacrifice and service of your faith, through reciprocation of this priesthood, you're offering unto God the knowledge which this stewardship has given to you, which is profitable in doxology for your sanctification and holiness and the work of regeneration. It's profitable for you. You know, who would want to abandon those things which are profitable for the soul? Only the fool would abandon those things which are profitable for the soul, okay? Because they don't understand, okay, being of the natural mind. So giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, okay, who's parenting us, nurturing us, and chastening us. And that's why we despise not the chastening of the Lord. Okay? Because the chastening of the Lord has to do with like resetting the bone. If the bone is not set properly, it has to be broken again, and that's painful to break the bone, the second time in order to reset it. Okay, and it takes time for that bone to heal so that you begin to walk uprightly. Okay, so that's why the Apostle Paul says this concerning, walking according to these things. Okay, walk circumspectly, because as the bone heals, you gain the strength. As you gain the strength, your activity increases. As your activity increases, okay, so does your understanding. Okay, so that you are as those that are that possessed within their soul a hundredfold. Okay, we're not settling for the 30-fold. We're not settling for the 60-fold. Okay, but our expectation, okay, is upon the 100-fold. Okay, which also has to do with that a vessel full of faith. Giving thanks to always for all things unto God and the Father who is parenting us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So highlight the word name there. Okay, highlight the word name. Okay, and keep in mind here the same thing that Jesus brought out here in the gospel, okay, in chapter 15 here, okay, of the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, "I kept them in your name." Okay, and we see this here in John chapter 17, okay, in verse 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Keeping in their name," which means I kept them separate by the rhythm of your spirit. The rhythm of your spirit is this tradition, the tradition of faith. It's the tradition of faith. It bridges these weeks, okay, and it bridges these weeks, and your kingdom continues to grow through the bridging of these weeks. So when the Apostle Paul is saying the word name here, he's saying the same thing as Jesus did to his apostles. Okay, "I have kept them in your name." This rhythm of the Spirit, this tethering of faith, and this bridge of the weeks, that the kingdom of God continues to grow unabated, okay, as we will see and experience in the holy city, the mother of us all, the holy city, New Jerusalem. Amen.